You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
I'm glad you're here. I want to preach today from a line, right? A line in a song, all right? This song that we sang today, we sang it last week for the first time. It's a Hillsong song. It's a brand new Christmas carol. Did you like that before, that new Christmas carol? Isn't it cool to know? Did you know that you can write Christmas carols now, that they don't have to be 600 years old? Did you know? Like some people right now already, you're like, pfft. Like your mind is blown that you can still write Christmas carols, right? That's amazing, isn't it? So Hillsong wrote this great Christmas carol. There's this one line in it that honestly rocks my world. And if we could sum up the culture of our church, you know, why has our church grown so fast? Why has it been so amazing like that? Why, you know, like why is this happening? All right. Why are broken and whole people in this church, and why has it exploded in growth? You know what? I think we could sum it up in a line. You know, there's lots of other things that are great about this church, but one of the greatest things about this church is an understanding and a culture of the heart of Jesus Christ that is summed up in this one line: in light of mercy, confess your sin. In light of mercy, confess your sin. Now, that's an absolutely wonderful truth to spend time thinking about at Christmas time. Imagine, think about this, all right? Think about the worst thing you ever did, all right? The worst thing you ever did, or the worst habit you've ever been in. Think about that. Picture that right now. And imagine that all the punishment for that, right? Imagine this. No punishment. Imagine this. No shame. No shame at all. Imagine you could tell somebody and nobody would gossip about you. Like nobody coming up to you saying, I know what you did last summer. No one coming up and saying that to you. And no one coming up and saying, I know what you did last summer too. All right. Like that nobody's saying that to you. That's not happening at all. Right. You go to your hometown. No one comes up to you and goes, Pastor Nathan, great to see you. I remember when you were a little kid. I remember when you and Pastor Sean set fire to a cat and it ran into the bank and burnt the building down. I remember. Imagine if you could talk about this. Imagine if there was an openness and no one would be talking about what you did and who you did it with. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't that be fantastic? Imagine if the help that you need to overcome the issue, the hurt, the healing, the struggle, the sin, whatever it is, lay at the other side of confession, and the journey through confession involved no shame, no pain, no gossip. How much easier would it be to get the help that we need? Wouldn't that be a lot easier? Yeah? If we truly understood that because of mercy, we can confess our sin, and we would, wouldn't we? If you've got your Bibles, turn to James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. By the way, when it says let him call for the elders of the church, you know what I think of when I read that? You know, if you're sick and you want to call someone in, it's not just like, oh my gosh, that person has an ordination. Your connect group leader. Let him call his connect group leaders and the pastors and the leaders of the church to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, therefore is therefore, because before it, something's already happened. And after it, something else is going to happen, all right? They will be forgiven of their sins. Therefore, after that, confess your sins to one another. And pray for one another, that you may be healed, that you may be healed, amen? Because the prayer of the righteous person has power in its working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Hello, Elijah was messed up if he was anything like me. It just feel good. You're like reading about this Bible dude that everybody's like, this dude's awesome. And then there's like this massive letdown. Oh, he's just like you. And you're like, oh, really? Man, it's kind of like meeting your hero, you know? That was this moment for me. You mean Elijah's like, me? Poor dude. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Come on, I want to be a rainmaker. Anybody else? I want to be the guy that I pray, and the rain comes. Amen. The rain's a blessing, and hope, and forgiveness, and joy, and mercy just come flooding into people's lives. Today, I want to talk to you about the power in confession. You know, I'm really stoked. Y'all are awake and responsive. That's good. I love a responsive church. Amen. This is good. You're getting me fired up, all right? Don't say amen too many times. I might get fired up, all right? Today, I want to talk to you about the power in confession and how Jesus made confession a wonderful experience and journey for all of us. Now, I know the Catholic Church has confession, but this is not what we're talking about. Today, we're not talking about confession for the forgiveness of sins, because what did we discover before? Before confession, sins are forgiven, right? So this is a different thing. Lord God, I need you. I love you. Help! Your sins are forgiven. So many times in the Word of God, Jesus comes up because your sins are forgiven. And you're like, but they didn't ask. But they love Jesus. They come to Jesus. They recognize the need for Jesus. And their sins were forgiven. Someone say amen. Come on now. And so after that, what is confession all about? Because you don't need to come to me to confess your sins. I am a man and cannot absolve you of your sin. It doesn't come from man, but from God. You know, Pastor Jesse, I've got to tell you, I kicked the cat. Please forgive me. I'm more likely to be saying, good job. No, I'm just kidding. Cat lovers in here. Cats are awesome. And I'm so glad that everyone else has one and I never will. God bless you, all right? But you don't need to call me and ask me to absolve your sin of kicking that heinous creature. That's not my job. That's God's job. Come on. That's God's job. I'm not here to forgive your sins. God is faithful and just to do that for you. When you say, Heavenly Father, forgive me my named and unnamed, my known and unknown sins, my confessed and my forgotten sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive you. Amen. It ain't coming from me. It's coming from Jesus. Today we want to talk not about the forgiveness in confession, but the healing that comes in confession. Amen. So let's start with Jesus. Write this down. Got your pens ready? Got your notebooks out? Come on, if you told me that we've given you a pen, where the heck is it? You better have it ready to write in that notebook right now. Come on now. Touch your neighbor. Say, get ready. I'm going to drop 3 bombs on you today, and they're going to be really good. And then I'm going to drop 3 little grenades at the end, okay? We got 3 bombs and 3 sub-points, all right? They're called grenades today, all right? We're going to drop them at the end, though. If you've got your pens ready, write down #1, #1, or #1, depending how old you are. Jesus overflows with mercy. Jesus overflows with mercy. Amen. Write that down and don't forget it. We got to understand the incredible truth that is found in Jesus' response to people in sin, as opposed to people who are in sin but pretending that they're perfect and have it all together. Look at the Pharisees. These are people who are acting and talking like they're perfect, hanging out over here, nothing to see here, ignore that hooker in my room. I was just preaching to her, telling her about, you need to get right with God. Ignore her, nothing to see here, #, it's all good. In the midst of their own sins, they're pointing out everyone else's sins. But let's enter the story of the lost son. You may have heard it called the prodigal son. I like to call it the prodigal God story. Prodigal means a spendthrift, recklessness with finances and resources. That's more God than that son, wouldn't you agree? A son who wastes everything, comes home, and the father gives him more. Come on now. That is a reckless use of resource, but God is good, amen? This son, it's a story about a son. He ran away, and after having met the father and disrespected him, he'd met the Father. Be like someone in here. You've met God. He'd met the Father, and then he disrespected him. He squandered the Father's resources. Not only did he bury the talent in the ground, he spent it on booze, drugs, parties, hookers. Then he comes to his senses one day and goes, I have messed it up. Now, the guy in the other story from a couple of weeks ago who just buried the talent in the ground, what did he do? He comes in and blamed God. Because you. This guy comes back and says, because I was frivolous. Because I wasted everything. Because I ruined it all. I thought I'd come back to you and see if you might have mercy on me. And what did the father do after that slap and disrespect and abuse that he received from the son? The father says, get the ring, get the robe, kill that fat cow, let's have a feast, welcome home. My son is home. That's how God the Father, that's how Jesus Christ responds to people in sin. Come on, enter the story of the leper. You want to hear about the leper? Y'all are like, what's a leper? Leper. Enter the story of the leper. Jesus comes down the mountain and a leper comes up to him, all right, and breaks the law. He comes up to him breaking the law. Lepers can't come up to you. Lepers can't come near you. Lepers can't come into town without everyone spreading the way and someone going before them and saying, watch out, the filthy dude's coming through town. He's breaking the law because he wants a better life. The law says, you can't cross that line. He can't come to where the people are, but over that line is where the hope is. Over that line is where the healing's at. So he breaks the law and comes to Jesus asking for healing. So what does Jesus do in response to this law-breaking leper? Heals him. Heals him. And as an added bonus, gives him everything that the devil took away. Gives him everything that the devil took away. Amen. Come on now. When he got leprosy, the devil took his family. When he got leprosy, the devil took his income abilities. When he got leprosy, the devil took his community. He was cast out, out, out. He was sent away. He lost his family, lost his kids, lost his sons. He lost everything that he had because he had leprosy. But one touch from Jesus, he's healed, set free, restored. Amen. That's how Jesus responds. I want you to think about the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. Here's a prostitute caught in the middle of the first ever Miami Vice raid. The cops come kicking in the door. Get down on your knees. Get down on your knees. And there's this woman caught in the middle of sex acts for money. For money. Jesus gets involved in the story and having heard all the evidence, having watched all the body camera footage, finds out, man, it's for real. She was bad. He simply says to everyone else in the room, everyone else in the area, some of us even, because we're not perfect, you who have not sinned, cast the first stone. Lady, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Did she ask for forgiveness? Lady, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more. Do you see the wonder of the mercy of God in these stories? Can you feel the power of the mercy? Can you feel that? Is it all over you? Let it permeate your heart and spirit today. I want you to know that the devil is the accuser. You did that. You said that. You hung out with him. You hung out with her. You were in the room. Come on now. The devil is the accuser. Jesus is the healer. Amen. If you grab hold of Jesus and you squeeze Jesus, it's nothing but mercy going to come out in Jesus' name. Come on now. #2, #2. If you're old, it's pound. Who says it's pound? Number sign? Good grief. I haven't even heard that one. You know, I discovered this week I'm old. I got glasses now. Turns out I needed them a wee while back. But anyway, whatever. You know, before like this weekend, I thought I pastored the ugliest church in the world. I'm like, y'all are so ugly. I got glasses now. I'm like, man, it's so pretty and so handsome. This is an awesome church. It's amazing. It's all about perspective, right? I should have been looking through the eyes of Christ. Come on now. Anyway, someone say move on and preach. All right, I can do that. Anyone in here want to be like Jesus? Yeah? Well, #2, the church overflows with mercy. #1, Jesus overflows with mercy. #2, the church overflows with mercy. You said you want to be like Jesus, yeah? Hands up if you want to be kind like Jesus. Hands up if you want to be powerful like Jesus. Hands up if you want to be wise like Jesus, strong like Jesus. Well, if that's you, come on here. Who wants to be Christ-like? Just your whole life, more and more, day by day, getting more like Jesus. Well, here you go. Luke chapter 6, verse 36. Be merciful. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. I want to tell you right now, the church, this church, is the safest place to be broken. This is the safest place for broken people to be, right here in church. Can I get an amen? This is the safest place to be healed. If you're broken and you need healing, if you're hurt and you need healing, if you're ashamed and you need healing, this is the place you need to come and get your healing, amen? This is the place to come and be made whole. Now, if you're in here and you're like, I'm already whole, then this is the place you come to help make other people whole. Now, if you're like, man, I'm already whole, and I don't want to hang out with all those dirty people, this is not the place for you. But in fact, because you have that attitude, you're not whole. And so you need to be here to be made whole. Amen. So this is a place for you too. Someone say, glory, that's good. Come on now, pulling out a bit of Southern preacher just then. Glory, amen. God is good. I see what I did to you there, by the way. I took you on a circle, didn't I? Y'all are like, I am actually good, and I don't like hanging out with broken people. And then you come back around the other side, and I'm like, oh, by the way, you're broken slab. You're like, man, that wasn't nice, Pastor. This is the safest place to be you. Just be who you are. Just be you. I'm not saying everything about you is good. I'm not saying that wrong is right and right is wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying if there's wrong in you, this is the safest place to be like, guess what's in me? Hello, there it is. This is the safest place to be you. The church overflows with mercy because we understand that the only way broken people are made whole and the only way that struggling people overcome is when they're in a place that they are safe to admit the struggle and the brokenness. The church overflows with mercy because we're like Jesus. The church overflows with mercy because there would be no church if not for mercy. Y'all wouldn't be here if not for mercy. And that's why I know y'all are full of mercy. You're amazing. The church overflows with mercy because the church is the merciful hands and feet of God on earth. That's our job. I remember last year when a new dude came to church and get saved down the front here at the altar. Man, I love it. Man, people get saved here every week. Isn't it cool? Isn't it cool? Who loves that? I bet you some of you come to church just because of that, right? I wouldn't come if that wasn't happening, FYI. So make sure you keep bringing lost people or I'll end up leaving, hey? Come on, let's keep getting people saved, amen? The next week after getting saved, he comes down the front to tell me that was the best expletive week of his expletive life. See, he just given his life to Jesus. He went a whole week without buying drugs, without selling drugs, without using drugs. I want to tell you, the leper come to Jesus, you know, the leper. He come to Jesus breaking all the societal rules about coming to Jesus. But Jesus loved him, welcomed him, and that dude left with a touch of Almighty God, amen. My friend, he come down to the altar. He come down breaking all the societal rules about appropriate language in church. You can't say that in church. It's in the Bible. Where? I don't know, but somewhere. It's the vibe of the thing. It's the gist of the thing. Don't say that. And he told me about the wonder of God at work in his life. I want to tell you, they were some of my favorite expletives I've ever heard. I loved it. Now, I don't talk like that much anymore. I've been here a while now, cleaning the language up a wee bit. And I'm not encouraging any of you to talk like that. Your mama gonna slap you if you do. But let me tell you the truth about what was happening in heaven during that conversation. There was a party. You see, there was a party when a dude was dropping F-bombs in the front of church. Did you believe that? I'll preach that. Someone say, preach that again. I will, all right? There was a party in heaven when someone's dropping F-bombs at the front of the church. That's a messed up kind of Christian. That's a messed up kind of religion, isn't it? Amen? There was no angel refusing to deliver the praise report of God's glory due to the incorrect method of the communication. That didn't happen. There was a party in heaven over a young man whose life had then and still is now touched by the permeating power of God. Amen. And I walked away with a dance in my step and a hip hop and a jump in my stride, thankful to God that he helped his church display the mercy of God. Amen. Because God helped transform this church into a church that transforms others by the mercy and power of God. Come on, someone say, preach it again. Listen to the podcast. I don't have the energy. Lastly, number two, number sign two, hashtag two, pound two. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, you know, the church overflows with mercy. Yeah, y'all got ahead of me. But hey, since you want number three, I'll give you that now too then, all right? Number three, hashtag three, pound three. You ready? We, come on, touch your neighbor and say we. We all overflow with mercy, amen. Be the person that people can come to, confess, find help, and discover their healing. Be that person. Be aware that you too, yes, you, even you, and even that, can freely confess your sin, your struggle, your snare, as Hebrews calls it, and find mercy, find wholeness and healing through relationship with Jesus and friendship with his people. So why confess? What's the deal with this confess thing? Like this society has ruined the word confession to mean say this word before someone beats you with a stick. That's what we think of with confessing, don't we? I've got to go confess to my boss so he can fire me. I've got to confess to my mom so she can beat me. That not in my house. And I've got to go confess to this person so they can ridicule and shame me. See, some have taught that you won't be healed if you have sin. Come on, touch your neighbor, say that's trash. Some have taught that you won't be blessed if you have sin. Touch your other neighbor, say that's rubbish. See, we got America and Australia covered in one moment just there. Some have even taught that you will be sick because you have sin. And so you must confess your sin of gossip to be healed of your cancer. That's a great, that's bull dust. Good Aussie right there. Good job, Arizza. You know, that is rubbish. That's trash. That's not God. God is a what? Good, good father. A good, good father. Now, I'm a dad. I want to tell you, there has not been one time, not once, when my kid has come up to me and gone, Dad, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have. I know we're not allowed to use the Chromebook in our bedrooms, but I did. And then I whipped out a needle full of flu, and I jabbed it in him and gave him the flu. Hands up if that dude's going to prison. Right? That's abuse now. And you know it's bad when it was abuse when we were kids. Right? Like, that was abuse 30 years ago as well. Come on now. That's not what God does. That is absolutely ridiculous. Come on now. That God's going to make you sick. Like I tell you, you might get the flu if you cheat on your wife by making out with someone who's got the flu. That's just the way that works. But God didn't come and get you and stick a tumor in your brain because you sinned. That didn't happen. That ain't ever going to happen. God's the healer, not the accuser. He's the healer, not the killer. The devil come to steal, kill, and destroy, but he has come that you may have life in Jesus' name. People have taught that you have to confess your sin of gossip to be healed of cancer, confess your sin of pornography to be healed of the flu. It's not true. It's trash. They're unrelated. You must confess your sin of pornography to be healed of pornography. You must confess your sin of gossip to be healed of gossip. Pastor Jesse, I've got to tell you the truth. I only joined the prayer team because I want to know people's secrets. Because I just love talking about all the hurt in people's lives. I just needed to confess that. I'm going to say, hey, God bless you. You should probably be a greeter. You know, we'll take you off the prayer team. But we freaking love you. And I'm not even going to tell everybody what you said about them. See, sin is a disease and it hurts people. And so you don't need to come and tell us that you did this wrong so we can abuse you. I already know that it probably hurts you. And come on, let's be real. You go through anything the Word of God calls it, you know that it hurts. You know it hurts you and damages your spirit and your heart. I want you to find freedom, wholeness. It's not confession so you can be healed of an unrelated tumor or disease. It's confession of the issue you have so you can overcome the issue you have. It's the removing of the veil. It's the removal of the societal need to be seen as perfect and pure. It's the honest confession that if not for Jesus, I wouldn't even be saved. It's the expression that I have this problem and I need help. The reason we confess our sins to be healed of our sins is because when we live behind the veil, we pretend that we don't have these sins, these struggles, these hurts. And in our pretending, we rob ourselves of the God-designed process for healing that comes through the relationship with God and honest friendship with His people. And when we pretend that we are perfect, we're saying, I don't need Jesus. But when we remove the veil and say, I have a problem with lust, now you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Plus, the Word of God says even more power when two or three witnesses stand together in prayer and accountability, and you will win. Amen. Come on, you will overcome because you need friends, friend. You need friends because God designed you for community. We're made in the image of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And just like God is community, we find our fullness in community. God, us, friendships. God, us, spouse. It's about the Trinity. You know, when Jesus came to earth, the community of heaven took a hit so we could find mercy in Him. Heaven's community took a gut punch, got robbed of a third of its community so that we could have community with heaven. In a moment, I want you to write these down. In a moment, I'm going to give you the three grenades, all right? The three sub-points, if you will, all right? No matter who you are, what you've done, or what you're going through right now, this is for you. You can find healing. No matter how rich or poor you are, you can find healing. If you're a Democrat and you have a sin problem, you can find mercy and healing here. If you're a Republican and you have a sin problem, you can find mercy and healing here. No matter the color of your skin or the stereotype of your race, white people can find mercy here. Black people can find mercy here. Asian people can find mercy here. Latino people can find mercy here, amen. There is no one who can't find mercy here. Rich people are welcome here. Poor people are welcome here. We're not going to buy into some stereotype of who needs mercy and who needs to kick up the butt. No matter what type of sin you're walking in right now, no matter if you're neck deep, eye deep, or overflowing with filth, listen to me right now. Because of mercy, come on, because of mercy, you will find forgiveness and salvation in Jesus. Because of mercy, you will find a home in the church. Because of mercy, you will find victory in godly relationships. You will find forgiveness and salvation in Jesus, a home in the church, and victory in godly relationships. Let me encourage you, if you want to overcome the struggle, remove the veil. Remove the veil. Take the thing off. Throw it away. I want to leave you with a story as the band comes back up. Man, I better get a move on. There was a young man that I worked with. He was a good young man. He wasn't proud of his family's upbringing. He had divorced parents. One parent in jail and the other was very overweight. So overweight she could not leave the house. So he learned at a very young age how to pretend. To be what he thought was better than what he really was. So he learned to lie, to create an alter ego family, and all that goes with that. And he moved away for college, and this is where we met. He had gotten saved, but still maintained this facade of his created alter ego. He would lie. He would tell us about his family's money, and he would tell us about the family property, thousands of acres of wondrous glory. He would tell us about the wonderful adventures that he had as a young man. And when I told stories of my upbringing and my family's property and my family's whatever, he would always best me. And I didn't mind because I kind of wanted to be him. And then one day, he'd told us, you know, all this massive stuff that he had, but it was all lies, lies, lies. Every day, more lies, lie after lie after lie. One day he come to me and he said, "Jesse, it's all lies." Like, what did I say? What did I do? I didn't say anything, and it wasn't lies. And starts crying. He says, "Everything, my whole life is a lie. I always lie. I can't even tell the truth." He couldn't even say it was a bad day. "How was your day?" "Best day ever." Make up a story about what he did that day. Like, moment after moment after moment, everything he said is a lie. See, he found himself in love with a girl who loved the Lord and loved him too. He wanted to marry her. But he couldn't remember what stories he'd told her. You know, someone said to me when I was a young man that the best reason for telling the truth is you don't have to remember what you said. You don't have to, you know, next conversation you have with that person, just tell the truth again and it's all good. Just tell it like it is. He wanted to marry her, but he didn't know what stories he told her, and he couldn't keep up with the lies. You know what? He tried. He'd wake up every day and say, "I'm not going to lie today. I'm going to tell the truth today. I'm going to be honest today." Day after day after day, week after week after week, year after year after year. On his own, he couldn't do it. Honestly, I thank God that he knew that I would love him no matter what he said to me. So he confessed his sin. Not so he could be healed of tumor or the flu. He didn't have them. He confessed his sin to be healed of the disease of the sin. See, the sin that was hurting him, crushing him, preventing honest, real, deep, meaningful relationships. See, he was a youth leader, so he didn't want to confess because he thought it would all be taken from him. I told him, "Man, I'm not telling anybody. I won't tell the pastors. I'm not going to tell your girlfriend. I won't tell college admissions that you lied on things to get cheaper college. I'm here to help you find freedom in Jesus' name. I'm not here with a stick. Come confess to me so I can beat you. That's not what I'm here to do." So we prayed and we prayed. He told his girlfriend, who took it real hard, but she loved him. Because even in the midst of the lies, right, the personality is the same, isn't it, right? So she still loved that personality. He told his youth pastor, who, get this, rejoiced in his honesty. Rejoiced in the honesty. He found freedom from the pain. In the mercy of confession, he got free. He got free. Every now and again, he still tells a lie. Or he did. I haven't seen him for about 6 or 7 years. You know what he does now, though? He'll say this. He'll be like, "Oh, today I had a great day and I did this." And then he'll stop and he'll go, "That was a lie and I don't know why I said it." And he'll just move on. He'll just move on. I can appreciate that, can you? Hey, I'd rather you tell me a lie and then immediately show me that you're, like, really awesome at being honest, you know? That's really cool. I want to tell you, church, as you stand up, just stand up. Touch your neighbor, look him in the eye and say, "You can be free."
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.